Welcome to this week's podcast from the teaching team at Beacon Church. For more information about our church, please visit beaconchurch.com.au. We hope you enjoy the message.
So this is what I want to talk about this morning. Our life in Christ, our life as churchies. I didn't know the word churchy until I started hanging out with tradies. And they're like, mate, he's one of those churchies. You know, it's like the Christian life is not just a natural life. It's not just natural. It's not just in our own human strength, our own human understanding. The walk of the Christian is the walk and the life of the Spirit of God. That's why Paul said in Romans 8, verse 6, to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. You see, when we have a life that is focused and has its intent and has its engine in the Spirit of the living God, it is a life of life and peace. But when we have our focus, our energy, our driver, our everything behind us, only what the Bible uses, the word the flesh, or we could just say the natural, that is the way Scripture says of death. And it may not be death as in you don't wake up tomorrow, but it's sort of the death of 1,000 paper cuts of everyday trials and troubles and difficulties as we're going along trying to do everything in our own strength. But I believe that God has placed me here today, not just because we were at the same conference and we're coming back. I believe that there is a word from God I'm supposed to share with you guys today, that the life of the Spirit is the life you were called and meant to live. You know, as Christians, we have the Bible, we have truth, we have wisdom, we have so many things that are so powerful and so important. But you know, it's not just good wisdom or ways to live a little bit better that Jesus came. Jesus came to take what is dead and make it alive. Jesus didn't just come to give you a life extension, as in one day I hope to get to go to heaven. Thank God for that. But Jesus didn't say, whoever comes to me, I will punch your ticket to heaven. Jesus said, whoever comes to me, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. And that is a beautiful image that Jesus is using for a life that is overflowing, for a life that is flourishing, and that day-to-day life is a life in the Spirit of God. Now, the twang in my voice that you hear is not Tamworth country twang. That is from the other place where we don't say bogans, we say rednecks. I come from a long line of rednecks, proud of it, in the United States. I'm from Colorado originally. Been in Australia for 17 years, still have the accent, still have the American accent. We recently went back to America, though, and you know, American food, if you haven't ever experienced it, is a whole nother thing. Like, there's nothing natural about American food. When you're over there for 5 weeks like we were, when we get back, you're just craving a decent coffee just from somewhere, someone. Those of you who have been, you're like, oh, amen, yes. Because everywhere Americans are like, this place is good coffee. And you go and you're like, no, not so much. A decent coffee and maybe some veggies that don't have cheese and bacon on them. Or that actually maybe weren't fried, or, you know, even the cheese, you're like, this isn't cheese. Cheese doesn't stay liquid no matter what temperature state it's in. And it's not bright orange. There's nothing natural about this. Do you know, and in researching this, I came across this, though, that there is no regulation over the Australian Food Standards Code of them being able to put 100% natural on the packaging. They can put 100% natural or all natural. There's no regulation around that. They can put that on anything. The only thing that regulates that is you and me complaining about it. And I bring that up because I think the church and us as Christians, we need to have regulation the other way around. We should never have over any church that preaches Jesus or any Christian the phrase 100% natural over us. We should have a regulation committee of the Holy Spirit in our life that says we're not called to live just natural. We're not called to just do everything in your own strength. We're not called to just walk out in what we know or what we know how to do. That there is a life in the Spirit for you. And for our church in Tamworth this year, it has been an emphasis for us. It's been something we've been leaning in on from day one of this year. We want to walk in the Spirit in 2023. We want to live by the Spirit in 2023. And not just this year, not as in like what 2024 comes around, it's, oh, something else. Like, it's the life of the Spirit from here on out. Because I grew up in church. I come from church. My dad's pastored the same church for 30-something years in Colorado. And so I like to say I was born on Saturday and in church on Sunday, and I was up receiving the offering by the next weekend, running the youth ministry 2 weeks after that. I know what it is to do church. I know what it is to come to church. I know what it is to be in a family where, you know, we don't ever ask, like, what are we doing Sunday morning? Like, you just know. And I thank God for that. And I thank God for that heritage. But one thing I know, too, is I am done with days of just doing church just for the sake of doing church. That the Church of Jesus Christ is called to be a powerful force in our community, in our state, in our nation. And that force and that power won't just be great relevance or good-looking pastors or things like that, even though thank God for it. What that force is the power of the Holy Spirit. What made the church was the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came and empowered the church. They went out and preached, and people got saved, and people got healed. This is our heritage. This is the birthplace of what you are sitting in today. And the same power that raised Christ from the dead, that same Holy Spirit is around us and in us this morning. It is not just a natural life. It is not just a natural life. But you might be like me. I mean, like I say, I grew up on all of this. I grew up around church, and that used to scare me. I thought if I was signing up for a life in the Spirit, I thought it was signing up for what I might call Fruit Loop faith. Or if you want to sound healthier, muesli faith. Why is it muesli faith? Because it's comprised of flakes, nuts, and fruits. Used to scare me. One time in my parents' church, I would never invite my friends to church because I was a heathen just showing up at church. And I would play bass in the band with my mom because my mom made me play bass in the band. And she led worship from the keys. She would stand up and lead worship out the front. And it was the 90s, and there was a move of the Holy Spirit happening. And when my mom would get excited in the Holy Spirit, she would start carrying on. Let's put it that way. She would be playing and she would like start bouncing like this and she would start sounding like a train. She'd be like, woo, woo, like that. One Sunday, I look up, I'm playing bass and I can see mom starting to get fired up. And I see in the back door of the church, I see my friend and his parents walk in the church. I don't know how, like, I didn't even know they didn't know I was churchgoers. I didn't know they were churchgoers, but here they come to try out my parents' church. And instantly I was just like, oh, Jesus, please don't let the Holy Spirit fall on mom today. And I started thinking in my mind of like how I can maybe try to, if I intercept them straight afterwards, I can come up and be like, hey, sorry about the lady on the piano. We don't even really know who she is. Try to distance myself that it's not my mom. Because anyway, she got fired up and we were doing like a classic, I think, of like, look what the Lord has done or something like that. Those of you who have been around church, you know how that goes. And it just, you go round and round and round. And anyway, next thing you know, my mom's, woo, woo, and I'm playing the bass. I'm like, oh, Jesus, help us, please. And then my mom, when she'd get really fired up, and she did on this Sunday with my friend in school and in the back row, she would just all of a sudden be, woo, and she would just take off and run a lap around the church the whole way going, woo. I mean, in like high heels and the whole dress and all, just woo all the way around. And I was just like, oh man, I'm never going to hear the end of this at school, playing the bass and trying to figure out how to show up at school the next morning. Yeah. And be like, I have no idea who that lady was. And so we can kind of think, well, does this mean it's like weird or it's, look, what it isn't is 100% natural. But if we're honest, we know this, 100% natural isn't working. The church is called to be so much more than just a great mix of Taylor Swift concert, TED Talk, and stand-up comedy. Come on now. It's not just relevance from the church that our community needs. Our church needs the power of God from the church. At the day of Pentecost, they weren't all there in one accord. And Jesus, help me. They weren't all there in one accord. And a haze machine and moving lights and all of that fell from heaven. And then the world's biggest PA and all of that came down and said, now you're the church. Go rock some people. No, there was tongues of fire that sat upon each and every one of them. And I'm not against, you know, hey, I'm not against doing church well. I'm not against church, lights or great sound. And all those things help, but they are empty. The way of that is death if it is not with and empowered by and filled with and overflowing from the Spirit of God. So I can testify in my own life that living 100% natural is a way of death and striving. And we got to walk in the words of the prophet Zechariah when he said, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. That's what this world is looking for. That's what the difference maker is. In our post-COVID world, where so many people stopped going to church when they came back because the online interaction was, why don't I just stay here? You know, we can receive a great message and whatever is a measure of that. But, you know, there's something when we gather together in the power of God, that's something that just can't just be live streamed. That's something that just can't be listened to a podcast later on. When the collective church on fire together gets together, and not just from the platform, but from the pews, so to speak, to use an old school word, there is a move of God happening. The big idea for us today that I want to get across is that life is not just natural. There's more than what you see with our physical eyes, and that God is calling you to live and has created everything, all of us from the beginning, to live not just a natural life, but a natural and a spiritual life. In the very beginning, Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's a powerful phrase right there. I want to break down a few of things. Verse 2, the earth was without form and void. Darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, that doesn't just mean, like I said before, he created a place for us to go when we die and an earth we live in now. What really the bigger idea being communicated there, and what often in ancient language, what they're trying to get across with the word heaven isn't just the place you go when you die, isn't just the skies, so to speak. It is the unseen realm. God created the unseen and he created the seen. He created the physical and the metaphysical. He created the material and the immaterial. The only eternal thing is God. The only eternal thing is him. And everything, both seen and unseen, has come out of him and has been created by him. God created the heavens and the earth, both what we see and we can't see. And this is a huge statement to start the Bible, especially in our materialist time where we're like, if I can't see it under a microscope, or if there isn't a scientific study about it somewhere, it must not be true or it must not be real. Where our modern, really, it's not an atheist society. We have a pagan society where we have all these other gods in our realm and our world. And one of them, which, and I'm not against science, but one of them, which is the idea of, it's just like, well, the science says this, or if I can't see under a microscope, then that is the highest Lord. That is the highest God in our world today. In our world that we have that, it is a powerful opening statement of the Bible to say that God, just as real as he created this material world that we can see and we can observe and we can understand and we can discover. Thank God for the scientific rules and laws and methods and use all that and see how everything works. That we mustn't let the truth of that rob us from also the fact of the truth that there is an unseen realm. There is a spirit realm. There is a heavenly realm. And we live too much in the natural and not enough in the spirit. I know I do in my life. We're drawn every day into effort and into striving and into trying a bit harder. And it's good to work. It's good to put effort in. But to use Genesis language, I know in my own heart, my own life, I can be too much earth and not enough heaven, or too much in my own strength and not enough of the power of the Spirit. And the more capable you are, the more prone you are to do it. But right from the beginning, we see how the Spirit of God interacts and moves, and we learn how we can move with him. That's what I want to talk about over the next few minutes. In the phrase where it says the earth was without form and void, it's a translation of a Hebrew phrase that's difficult to translate, which they run into a lot. But it's the words tohu vebohu, which means chaos, or means a mess, means void, means without shape. And let me tell you something about God when he begins to do something in your life. We would like to think that when he's doing something new, that it shows up, and forgive me, I love movie analogies, but it shows up in our life Matrix style. meaning that we, you know, he like downloads it, and then we are set up, we're like, I know kung fu. Like, that it just hits us all at once, and it comes just formed. And it comes, God didn't even create the world that way. Have you ever thought about it? God's God. When he created everything, he just could have went, everything done, perfect, made, all at once, go, boof. But he didn't, and he started it out in a formless tohu wabohu way. So it doesn't say it was that and then God created. It says God created and then it was like that. See, too often you think you're not able to be moved, to be used by God or for the Spirit to move in your life because you think everything has to be ordered before the Spirit can move. But I want you to see here that the Spirit of God came in before the order was even there. The Spirit of God is there. And in our own lives, we look around and we see tohu wabohu. You might say, Josiah, if you came home to my living room today, it's the weekend. I haven't had a chance to clean it yet. There's a lot of tohu wabohu across my living room. Or we've got three kids. There's the never-ending laundry pile of tohu wabohu in my house. And it's not that we don't do laundry. I don't know what it is. The miracle of multiplication is on laundry in my house. It's like the 12 baskets for the disciples left over. You do laundry, all you feed 5,000 with laundry, and there's still 12 baskets left over. It's like, it's always there. And we think because of that, the Spirit of God either isn't there or can't be there or isn't interested. But I want you to know this, that the Spirit is in intimate contact with the most broken and hurt parts of yourself. He is not repelled. He's not frightened off by that thing. He's not frightened off by the idea that there is tohu wabohu coming out. He is hovering over it, ready to bring life, meaning, shape, order, power. The Spirit is in intimate contact with this, but he must be invited. We must surrender our strength for his. If there's one thing I'm learning every day, I used to think every day I need to come up with a better strategic plan or execute my plan that much more. And you watch social media influencers and they talk about this kind of thing. It's like every day you got to get up and hustle. You got to get up and grind. If everybody else is getting up at 5 a.m., you got to get up at 4 a.m. and all of this kind of stuff that they talk about. But what I'm learning is every day, the most important thing I can come to, the most important thing I can do is surrender. Which is so counterculture to everything we're told of the road to success right now. It's to surrender and to understand very first that if it is in my strength, it is death and it will fail. If it is the strength and the breath of God, nothing can stop it. Nothing can stop it. We must surrender our strength for his. So there's the tohu wabohu, and it says that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. That's that phrase, God's Spirit, is the phrase, Hebrew words, Ruach Elohim. Ruach Elohim, which can literally be translated the breath or the wind of God. The breath of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So much in that that we could go into. You know, it says, and then he spoke. And how do you speak? You use breath to speak. There's so much we could get into. But the Holy Spirit, it says that God's Spirit, the breath of God, the wind of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Holy Spirit isn't wind, but it's language that God uses so we can understand, okay? Wind, what is wind? Well, you can't see it, but it's there. Wind is a powerful, you see the effects of the wind, but you don't see the wind. Wind is a powerful force, but you have to position yourself to catch its power. The same wind that can blow something down if it's in the wrong position, if we put a sail in the right position, that can be a source of power, can be a source of strength. It's all about the way we position ourselves. If you cannot control it, you can only catch it. So the breath of God is blowing over your life and over this church today. It's blowing and it's inviting us. And it's saying, if you try to control it, it'll blow you down. If you catch it, it'll take you farther than you can imagine. Last phrase I'll get to, I'll try to move along. I believe the Spirit of God has some other things he wants to say and do before we go. The last thing I want to go to, and maybe keys can come, is you know the phrase there. So we've got the tohu wabohu, the chaos, the emptiness, the void. We've got the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, the breath of God is hovering over the face of the waters, it says. That phrase, hovering over, is a powerful phrase. But it's only used one other time in Scripture, only once. And I think when we look at this other time that it gets used, it kind of opens up a little bit what's happening when it says the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. I love and I'm obsessed with the first 8 chapters of Genesis. I feel like you could spend your lifetime just going over that and you never get to the bottom of what's happening and what God is revealing there. Because when we hear the phrase hovering over the face of the waters, I picture like a hang glider, or I picture like a bird, you know, just kind of like hovering over the top. But Deuteronomy here unpacks it more, where I think we can understand what the depth of the phrase is about. And it's 2 verses where the Bible is talking about God's people, Israel, when they were in the wilderness after they left Egypt. It says this, Deuteronomy 10 and 11. He found him in a desert land and in a howling waste of the wilderness. He encircled him, he cared for him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. Verse 11, like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them, bearing them on its pinions. That phrase there in verse 11, like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, that's the same Hebrew phrase as hovered over the face of the waters. So when we say the Spirit of God is hovering over your life, it's hovering over your church. It's hovering over you today. I don't mean that from a distance off, like an airplane or a hang glider or something, that it's way off in the distance. The picture that we get here in Deuteronomy is one of an eagle, a mother bird in its nest, stirring up the nest, making movement in the nest. Why is this significant? Well, because here's the thing with birds, a bird can stand, a bird can perch, a bird can walk and run. You ever been driving along? It happens in the country all the time. You'd be driving along and there'll be like a big flock of cockatiels or something on the road, or maybe even just one galah or something. And you'll see them up there. You got the cruise control set and you're like, you better take off. You better get out of the way. And it amazes me how many times they wait to sit what seems to be the last possible second. And rather than fly away, they do this one. They do those like little steps off to the side and you just kind of boom, barely miss them. And you don't, that would have been close. It's like, why didn't you just fly? For the Christian, your characteristic action is the flight of the Spirit. Yes, you know how to stand. Yes, you know how to perch. Yes, you even know how to walk and to run. But your characteristic action, just like a bird, they know how to do all those things. What's their characteristic action? Flight. And I want to, by God's grace and by the Holy Spirit today, I believe God, to open up your heart, the heart of your life, that you weren't called to just live natural, that it's not something that's actually even foreign to you, but your characteristic action is the flight of the Spirit. Those tradies here today, your characteristic action is to do that trade by the Spirit of God. One of the greatest deceptions that the enemy has ever brought to us is the idea that the power of God and the church and that Jesus and all of that is just about Sunday or gatherings in a church building. The church is you and I. Everywhere we go, there is an empowerment of the Spirit to work. There's an empowerment of the Spirit to be an electrician. There's an empowerment of the Spirit to be a plumber, to be a carpenter, to be a lawyer, to be a doctor, to be a mother, to be a father. None of it is supposed to be done without the power of the Spirit. Why? Because when we're walking and moving and living in the Spirit, we are in our characteristic action posture of flight. And you can get somewhere walking. Do you imagine a bird trying to migrate north for winter just the whole way? You see him just walking down the road. Gonna get there. It's way more work. It's way more effort. The Spirit of God is calling you and I today to rise up into our place, to catch the wind of what he's doing in our life, to catch the wind of what he's doing. The last thing I'll say is this, is when the Spirit of God is hovering over us, like I believe he is here this morning, over hearts and over lives, he's not just distant hovering over like a mama bird does in the nest, because she knows you'll stay in the nest if I don't stir it up. I believe he's stirring up nests this morning. You were called for more than comfort. you were called for more than convenience. And I'm not saying that every moment has to be struggle and suffering either. But let me tell you something. The most comfortable thing for us to do would have been to just stay on the Gold Coast. Your pastors, it would have been more comfortable for them to just stay on the Gold Coast. But God starts to stir the nest because he knows if you were called to more than comfort and convenience. And sometimes, every time in my life, God starts to lift us and stir us out of the nest because we realize without putting our wings out, we've got an appointment with the ground that's coming up really fast. I believe God is calling you to step out in faith into those kind of places today. Yeah. Yeah. And it's not that he's just trying to scare you. It's actually, he looks at you and goes, I formed you in your mother's womb. I thought about you before you could think. I spoke about you before you could speak a word. I made plans for you before even your parents or your whatever the preceding your life, before you were planned or born, I had a plan. And it is for more than you are now. And that doesn't necessarily mean a platform or over this or that. What it means is the Spirit of God is always got more for you in him. He's always calling you up into more greatness in him, glorifying him everywhere we go, being a light and a witness to this place and to this city and to this state and to this nation for the name of Christ. He's stirring the nest today. He's stirring your nest today. He's stirring the nest. He's saying, hey, I'm just going to make it a little uncomfortable here for you in a moment. Some of you, it's a stirring in your heart. Some of it is a combination of stirring in hearts and natural circumstances. God's stirring your nest. He's stirring it up. Because your characteristic action is a life of the Spirit. It's a life of the Spirit. Would you all join me in prayer this morning? Just bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, I pray over every single one of us, Lord. God, we don't want to be 100% natural. God, we don't want to just do it in our own strength. We don't want to be birds running down the road, but we want to fly and soar in you, God. Take us to new heights. And God, it starts with our hunger and our surrender. So all of us now, God, we take our striving, we take our own efforts, we take our own intellect, we take our own ability, we take our own just strength even, God. We put everything we have at your feet, God. And God, we say we don't want just our way, we want your way. We don't just want our ideas, we want your ideas. We don't just want our thoughts, we want your thoughts. We don't just want our abilities, our plans, our talents. But Spirit of God, would you breathe? Oh, thank you, God. Would you breathe over our life? Would you breathe over our home? Would you breathe over our marriage? Would you breathe over our singleness? Would you breathe over our children? Would you breathe over our grandchildren? Would you breathe over our day-to-day relationship with you? Would you breathe over our interactions in a community, as mundane as they might be at times? Spirit of God, we surrender to you. And we thank you that you're stirring the nest today. You're stirring the nest today. And I pray that every single one of us wouldn't lean back. We are not those who lean back into the nest, but we are those who step out in faith. I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for a new power over every single heart and life in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. We pray the message has inspired you. To connect with us further, visit beaconchurch.com.au.